is Rebecca Jernigan, your tour guide into discoveries, coming to you live simulcast from the heart of America to around the globe via the World Wide Web, terrestrial radio, satellite, and podcast. Let's journey together into the realms of the unknown to the known in search of enlightenment, knowledge, and truth. Welcome to each and every one of you to the show today. Now, today's show is going to cause you to think. Think about how you view and look at your world. Today's guest is Vaishali. The topic, you are what you love and you love what you give your attention to. All right, we'll back to that in just a second. I want to give a special thanks to the Journeys with Rebecca Radio Network and, of course, all of my great affiliates. Please check them out and more at my website, journeyswithrebecca.com. And, of course, while you're there, you can check out all the latest news, events, and announcements. And at the bottom of the page, please sign up for the free and totally confidential Journeys with Rebecca newsletter. It will keep you informed. Love your questions. Email me, mailbag@journeyswithrebecca.com. Today's guest, Vaishali. The topic, you are what you love and you love what you're giving your attention to. This should invoke you to really view your own outlook. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
A psychic that you can believe in, trust in, someone who will listen to you, find out your needs, then provide you with real answers, useful information that can actually make a difference. Rebecca Jernigan. Call and schedule your private consultation from a truly gifted psychic and clairvoyant, Rebecca Jernigan. Call 888-958-2768. That's 888-958-2768. Or find out more at www.journeyswithrebecca.com.
Check out Rebecca's website for the latest Journeys news and more. Log on to www.journeyswithrebecca.com.
Very special guest today is Vaishali, and we are here to talk today to her about You Are What You Love. What a wonderful title. Welcome to the show, Vaishali.
Thank you, Rebecca. I always adore spending time with you, Angel. You totally rock.
Well, I have to say that I totally agree with that in the reverse. You totally rock too, girl. This is going to be fun. You know, I want to tell everyone, we've had quite a trial and tribulation of getting the show. You were actually, we've rescheduled this quite a few times due to some technical difficulties. And today was really no exception either. We had some issues, and we're now talking to you via your cell phone just because of technical issues. So this is going to be kind of fun, and so I wanted to let everyone know that, you know, that we're just one of those, both of us are just one of those, we're going to do this, and we're going to get it done.
The world's just going to have to get out of our way because we're coming through.
That's right, absolutely. Well, you know, we've spent quite a lot of time talking, you and I getting to know each other, and that it's been just your kindred spirit. So I just want to let everyone know that after you and I spoke, it was just like talking to a sister. It really is. So this is just going to be delightful. And I was really kind of enthralled with your book. The title of it is really more expanded. If you really listen to it, you are what you love. And it's, I want everyone just to sit with that for a second. You are what you love. And to think about what that really means, because I think it really is very profound. And I would like for you to tell everyone a little bit about what the premise is of the book, because you and I are obviously going to have, like, you know, this conversation will go where it's going to go.
They take a life of their own, don't they, girlfriend? And that's the great thing about them.
Absolutely.
That's a great thing about the human experience. It always seems to manage to know what to explore. I wish that I could say, Rebecca, that I came up with this title, You Are What You Love, that was my brainchild, and I secreted that from my cranium. But to tell you the truth, my favorite 18th century scientist / mystic, well, he did so many things it's kind of hard to pigeonhole him, named Seaborg, first coined that phrase over 200 years ago, and it's actually only half of the equation. The whole thing is you are what you love, and you love whatever you're giving your attention to.
Wow. Okay, now again, the name was Emanuel Swedenborg, because you kind of cut out for just a second there, right? Wasn't that the name?
Yes, his name is Emanuel. Emanuel with an E and one M. Emanuel Swedenborg, and it's Sweden, like the country, and B-O-R-G. And you can go to Swedenborg.com, or you can Google Swedenborg. I'm telling you, if you Google Swedenborg, you're gonna be in your computer in front for a very long time, because there's a never-ending ocean of information about the guy. And it's really interesting. Most people have never heard of him.
No, I've not. This is my first time, so this is exciting.
And unless you have, like, some advanced degree in religious philosophy, or you went to seminary, it's very likely that you have not heard of the guy. And to me, this is a crisis of consciousness because of the gift of who he is and what he has to share. And it's tragic that we know more about Paris Hilton than we do about Emanuel Swedenborg. And I think it's time that changed, and I feel I'm just the girl for the job. I refer to Emanuel Swedenborg, even though he lived from 1688 to 1772, so he clearly hasn't had a body on the rock for a while. I still refer to him as my boyfriend.
Oh, all right.
My love man. And he started out his life as, he was born the son of a Lutheran bishop in Stockholm, Sweden. And he started out his life mastering every known science. And I want our audience to bear in mind that when we're talking about Emanuel Swedenborg starting out as a scientist, it was at a time when science was really at its infancy, and there was a very genuine hope that science would rectify things in a more emotionally and psychologically satisfying way than religion or the church had offered truth. So that was the hope, was that science would offer some more emotionally, psychologically satisfying answers about the truth than the church had. And to me, science isn't at that same level of infancy. It's supposed to theoretically be there. It's supposed to theoretically be, okay, I'm going to be innocent. I'm not going to overlay my opinion. I'm going to let reality tell me something about its self-evident nature. But I find more and more science today is pretty much, I'm the scientist. I know it all. You're stupid. Get out of my way. And it wasn't like that when Swedenborg was starting out. And he studied with Sir Isaac Newton. You know of the Big Fig Newton fame.
Absolutely.
He studied with Sir Edmund Halley, the astronomer that Halley's Comet is named after.
Right.
He was a member of Sweden's parliament. He was a metallurgist. He actually did a lot to bring a resurgence to Sweden's economy, because their economy was swirling down the drain, and he did a lot of resurgence to the economy through his metallurgy, developing mining safety techniques and mining extraction techniques that were used well over 100 years after he wrote about them. He wrote 4 volumes on the human brain, figured out what the cerebellum is for, the pituitary gland, the endocrine system, the movement, the relationship between breathing and cerebral spinal fluid moving up and down. He wrote over 150 scientific works on color, fire, soil, unit of measure. When he heard about microscopes, when he heard about microbes, he ground his own glass and made his own microscope. When he heard about Galileo, he ground his own glass and he made his own telescope. He came up with the first working hanging glider that actually hangs in the Smithsonian, you know, hundreds of years before the Wright brothers. He came up with a blueprint for a submarine long before H.G. Wells. His government came to him and said, we have a problem. We need our Navy to be moved from where it is to this other naval strategical port. But the problem is there's this rugged mountain range between where the Navy is now and where we need it to be. So can you move our entire Navy over this rugged mountain range? And my boyfriend did it.
Wow.
Stanford University a few years ago decided that they wanted to come up with a list of the top 10 most brilliant people to ever live on the planet Earth. and my boyfriend and two other people tied for first place for the top 10 most brilliant people to ever draw breath on the planet Earth. And yet most people have never heard of the guy. And to tell you the truth, Rebecca, obviously the guy's really smart. But that's not what impressed me about the guy when I first learned about him. That he didn't get the coveted title of my boyfriend just, you know, performing stupid human tricks.
Okay. And, oh, you cut out on me, girl.
No, sweetheart, I'm not.
Later.
I'm sorry, honey.
Okay.
An intruding reality. Okay, so back to Emanuel Swedenborg. So what's happening is, he says that he was able to control his breathing and enter into a trance-like state since he was a small child. So he's doing this entering into this trance-like state of extreme concentrated focus. And at the age of 56, he's doing this, and he has this experience that he describes where the veil between the physical world and the spiritual world simply fell away, and he was able to see into both worlds with the same clarity that you and I move and maneuver in the physical world. And he said it was given him permission to travel to higher and lower order levels of spiritual existence because his job is to write about them and explain how the spiritual world works and explain how what we do in the physical world affects where we live spiritually. And he said that all of his training as a scientist was to give him that ability to look at something, observe something with a neutral mindset, and write about it. Because, you know, I have a thing for the color purple. So if that was my job, the first thing I'd be doing is I'd say, well, you know, they don't wear a lot of purple, and they need a fashion consultant. And you know, obviously, I would be very biased. But Swedenborg wasn't. He had all these years of training of just being neutral and describing the thing. So he wrote over 35 volumes of work. He wrote over 1 million words. This is the 18th century. He doesn't have a search engine. He doesn't have spell check. He doesn't have Google. He just cranked this stuff out. And he wrote about it, and then he self-published it and put it out there himself. And he didn't sign his name to it.
Wow.
Not because he was trying to be deceptive, but because he didn't feel that this was his information, that he was saying, I own this, I made this, I came up with this. He felt he was just taking dictation from the spiritual realm. And so it was not appropriate to convolute his title, his name to it. But he, because he was in touch with the spiritual realm, he got found. People would ask him how he knew things, because this is before media. This is before mass media, before mass communication. There's no telegraph. It's before Marconi. There's no cell phones. There's no CNN. There's no home shopping network. So things just get around by word of mouth. And he would know about events that were happening hundreds of miles away. And when people would ask him how he knew this, he'd say, well, the angelic community is keeping me informed here. And I'm sure they did it without commercial breaks. Yeah. But it's when he started getting found out that he was talking to the spiritual realm, and people would come to him if a loved one had crossed over and they had sensitive information when they crossed over, they would come to him and ask him to find this loved one on the other side and get that sensitive information and back. And so he got found out as the guy that was writing all this stuff because of what had become known as his minor miracles. And Swedenborg didn't write about his minor miracles because he didn't think they were important. And if you write over 35 volumes and over 1 million words and you're not writing about it, it isn't because you don't know how or you don't have the time. It's because that's not where you prioritize. But this is, Rebecca, this is what he did consider of paramount importance. And this is what he wrote a lot about. And this is what I'm trying to do with my book, with my radio show, with the sessions that I do with people, is convey this. You are what you love, and you love whatever you're giving your attention to. That is just a spiritual law. It's not a nice suggestion. It's not a warm, cozy thing you might want to embroider on a pillow. It's a spiritual law. And that means that our awareness, our consciousness, is our divinity. It is love. And when you're giving your awareness to something, you're giving your love to it. Love isn't just something that you like or something that has romantic context to. Your awareness, your consciousness is inseparable from love. So when you're giving your attention to something, you're giving it love, and love is the most powerful force in the universe. So when you're giving your love to something, you're giving it the most powerful force in the universe, and whatever you give your attention to, you will invite more of it into the whole of your life via your love for it, via your attention for it. So what this boils down to is this. If you get up every morning and the first thing that you do is worry about what can go wrong, worry about not having enough time, not having enough money, your butt is getting so big it's creating its own gravitational field. Who else will my child drag home that they're going to date that has a body piercing I didn't know you could pierce there? If you're giving your attention to this kind of worry, then you love being miserable, unhappy, and less than. You love it. Isn't that shocking?
You know, I'm going to interrupt here for a minute before you go on, because there's a lot of points here that you have made today that is so phenomenal that I really want the audience to wrap their mind around it. I want them to really sit with it. I want them, when they leave this interview or our conversation, it's not an interview, when they leave this conversation today, that they think about exactly what it is that this is that has taken place here today. First of all, let's go back to Emmanuel. My definition of somebody who is a scientist, and that goes in all realms, whether they're a specific type of scientist or not, the key ingredient that is missing in our scientific community is the spiritual aspect of the science.
Yes.
And my understanding is, from the work that I do, is that science and spirituality, if you want to use that term, because I think most people understand that, should be something that is married.
Yes.
There is should be no separation of the two. And originally, such as Emmanuel has done, originally it was not separated. There was no separation in spirituality and the sciences, because there are things that were unseen that were not explainable by what scientific discoveries that we have made that are tangible in a sense. But it doesn't make them any less true or valid.
Right, right. And one of the things that Swedenborg is fleshing out is the physical world has, because of its nature, can be quantified, it can be measured, it can be weighed, but the spiritual realm can't be quantified in that way. But the only reason that the physical world exists is because it's a representation of the spiritual. If you take the spiritual away, the physical has no foundation for existence.
Hello? There you go. There you go. And, you know, you've given me quite a bit to chew on here with this. Because one of the things that I will do is I'm going to go check this out, because I feel like that there's a lot of things, obviously, in the short time that you and I are together here today, that we certainly can't get everything covered, that this man, especially if he's written 35 volumes over a million words, and I think there's something here that somebody could, by going in and looking at his works, that there's something here that can trigger, because this is one of the things that I've come into in the last little bit here, is that it seems to me that everywhere we go, whatever we do, there's trigger mechanisms that we have put in place, whether not knowingly or knowingly, whatever the case may be, that triggers us as human beings to become more than what we are if we just stop and acknowledge the trigger, acknowledge the, whatever goes off in us that grabs our attention. Again, back to the attention too. You love what you're giving your attention to. So if there's something that's triggering us, whether it could be good, bad, or indifferent, we need to take a look at that. We need to look at that and say, oh, it's a recognition. But I think that these trigger mechanisms, he has been a huge trigger mechanism for you, because it's like, oh, here it is. This is what people need to know about. It's what I needed to know about. And what you're doing is sharing it. You're sharing it because it's knowledge. And this is the knowledge of how things really work.
that was the intention with the book, my book, You Are What You Love. And the radio shows are called You Are What You Love, too, because you can't get enough of that You Are What You Love stuff. And Swedenborg wrote only in Latin. He's constantly been in translation since he wrote his work in the 18th century. And there's a fresh translation of Swedenborg work in English by the New Century Edition of Books. But what I wanted to do is I wanted to make Swedenborg fun and easy because nobody had done that. And his books are, can be a lot to wade through. They're very concentrated information. And he gets down to minutia level of detail that can be hard to absorb. So what I did is I took an overlay of his ideas, the real important ideas, and I break them down and I explain them in simple English vernacular. So if you do decide that you want to graduate to actually getting one of his books and reading it, you have already understand what some of these terms mean. You understand how they operate, so you won't get frustrated and throw the book down and go, what the hell is the guy saying?
You know, and you can. You can, because what I'm sensing with him is that when he got into, I call it a zone, when he gets into a zone, he understands very clearly what it is he's writing because he's in that zone. That's a space that we can only get into individually and we understand where we're at because we're in that energy of that space, whether it be mentally, spiritually, or both, all at the same time and physically. So sometimes it's very difficult for a person to go back and look at that and go, what were they trying to say? Because they're not in that zone, the same space, the same energy that they were at the present time.
And he didn't write it for our audience and our generation at our time. He wrote it for 18th century scientific community.
Yes.
And so it needs some massaging and it needs some revamping and it needs to be infused with some modern vernacular so that a 21st century audience can start being able to emotionally and psychologically and spiritually digest this information.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that. So
I'm pre-digesting it for you.
Well, you know, that's a good place for us to leave. You guys do not go away because we're going to be back with more of Washali. You are what you love. You love whatever you're giving your attention to. Do not go away. We'll be right back. Enzymes. They are so important to our bodies. We tend to forget how vitally important they are to our health and well-being. At PerfectlyOrganic.net, we have a large selection of enzyme products available to assist you in bringing your body into better health and vitality. And on the website is a book about enzymes and the role they play. And it's free. So log on now to PerfectlyOrganic.net and learn about enzymes and order yours today. Again, that's PerfectlyOrganic.net.
Prepare yourself for a journey of discovery and the answers that you've been looking for. With the Universal Learning Series, a set of principles for discovering your true self. Explore your past, your present, and your future. Read your never-ending life, book one of the Universal Learning Series by author Sandy Andrew. Go to universallearningseries.com.
Fate Magazine, providing true reports of the strange and unknown. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, life after death, and much, much more. To receive your free issue of Fate Magazine, call now, 800-728-2730, or visit our website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. Or www.fatemag.com. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Tolerance is accepting someone before they walk through the door.
No matter what their background, their religion, their lifestyle.
It's about accepting people for who they are as individuals.
Their culture, their family, their tradition.
Tolerance is celebrating the diversity that makes us great.
Tolerance. Honor the differences. Picture a world of respect. Visit tolerance.org to learn more.
More than talk, it's entertaining insight and discoveries. You're listening to Journeys with Rebecca.
Welcome. welcome back. Thanks for staying with us. Today's wonderful guest is Vaishali. And we have, in the first segment, been talking about a book that she's put together, You Are What You Love, and you love whatever you're giving your attention to. So for those of you who may have missed the first segment and you're just now tuning in, remember that you can get to this show through the archives at jwrradio.com, free of charge for you to listen, because this is a do-not-miss kind of an interview with Vaishali here. There's just some amazing information here for everyone. So, Vaishali, that being said, you know, this guy is, he's magnificent. And I know that you've really done a lot of bringing the attention to this most amazing individual. So I want you maybe, if you would, is maybe expound on some of the experiences, expound a little bit more on the book, you know, just, you know, wherever it takes you, because obviously this is a topic that is of major benefit. The substance of the topic, the things that are going on inside of this topic, is just amazing benefits to people.
I have an internet radio show on Contact Talk Radio, and I've had on a guy named Jonathan Rose, who's the head editor, the chief editor of the New Century edition of Swedenborg Books, and I've had him on 4 times, and every time he comes on, I make him tell an Emanuel Swedenborg minor miracle story that will just blow you out. So I'm just going to let people know that if they go to contacttalkradio.com and they see Vaishali, you go to the homepage, you'll see Vaishali, that's a name with the weird V name, V-A-I-S-H-A-L-I, and they'll see my picture. They can click on it, go to my page, check out the archive shows, and get more Swedenborg backstory as far as his minor miracles. The way that I came to know him is when I was in my mid-20s, Rebecca, I was having some health problems, and they kind of snowballed into being diagnosed as terminal from internal organ degeneration. And my internal organs were basically rotting out inside my body, and it was extremely painful. And I had had a very stressful life before that. And I wasn't making the correlation between how I was responding to that stress and where the journey of my health ultimately took me. And during this period of time, I had been diagnosed terminal, and I was trying to find some way. I wasn't even really thinking about extending my life so much as I was trying to think about how to deal with being in all excruciating pain that you would jump off of a building to get out of. And, you know, it looked like I probably wasn't going to make 30, and just trying to make some sense out of my life that had just seemed to be one giant cesspool of suffering previous to this. You know, that bumper sticker wisdom, life is a bitch and then you die.
Right.
And so I came across Emanuel Swedenborg and this idea, you are what you love, and you love whatever you give your attention to. And that was, as you mentioned, that was such a wake-up trigger call for me. And I started really examining, what am I giving my attention to? And I was addicted to worry, as I mentioned earlier. That was my drug of choice. First thing I would think about when I woke up in the morning, I would nurture that stream of thought during the day, and it was the last thing I would give my attention to before falling asleep. And what I realized is that I was giving my attention to very stagnant, non-life-supporting, life-diminishing things. And I was literally sucking the life out of myself with what I was giving my attention to. And I started reading more about Emanuel Swedenborg, and he has a very strong premise that I found fascinating and really worth trying, especially with what little life I imagined I had left. And that is this. He says that when we understand who and what we are, a plethora of neuroses and psychoses and fears and insecurities simply evaporates from your mind, because it cannot coexist in a mind that knows the truth about who and what it is. And I thought, okay, well, I got a plenty of that plethora of fears and insecurities and worries, and so let's give it a shot. So, Emanuel, honey, baby cakes, boyfriend, what are we? Answer that question. And he does beautifully, Rebecca. This is what he says. He says, you do not have love. You don't have it. It's not a possession. I can't come up to you with a gun, Rebecca, and say to you, okay, babe, give me all your love, and then walk away gleefully shouting, I have twice as much love as anyone on the planet. It's not a commodity. It can't be stolen. It can't be lost. It can't be taken. It can't be misplaced. And there are plenty of people I know in the listening audience that are probably saying, well, intellectually, you know, no, duh. You haven't told me anything I didn't know. But let me reframe it. When you go through divorce court, do you know you don't have love? You are love. When you go through a bad breakup, do you know you don't have love? You are love. When everything that happens in your life, under every possible condition, when the rubber hits the road, do you know then that you don't have love? You are love. Is it a knowing, or is it a superficial intellectual point that you touch upon when the conditions are right? The other thing he says is, we don't have God consciousness. It's like love. You don't have it. You are it. And he says, I can prove this to you because love was never separate from God consciousness. And he says, you don't have a value and power and worth. You are it because love was never separate from value and power and worth. And again, I'm sure there are plenty of people in the audience saying, well, tell me something I don't already know. When you get fired from your job and you can't pay your bills, do you know then that you are value, power, and worth? Or is it conditional on stupid human tricks being met in the physical world for you to align yourself with that truth? And the idea that Swedenborg is putting forth is that we came to the earth to claim this, to learn that we are what we love and we love whatever we give our attention to. And there's absolutely nothing in it for us to give our attention to anything limiting, unless we want to learn more about limiting things and learn more from limitation. And if you want to learn more about limitation, that there's nothing in it for you, if you want to learn more from it, that it's a limited form of existence, then by all means, give it all the attention that you would like. But if you've decided, you know, I've learned everything that I need to from not enough time and love and money and opportunity. I've learned everything I need to from not enough, from scarcity, from limitation. And I'd like to trade up. I'd like to trade in my teachers, and I'd like to trade up for the don't have love, I am love teacher. And no one and no thing on this planet has the power to change that. And combined with Swedenborg's wisdom, I started studying Indian Ayurvedic medicine, Tibetan Ayurvedic medicine, and Chinese medicine, which is, again, as you pointed out, are healing sciences that do not separate the spiritual from the human equation. And between those healing modalities and Emanuel Swedenborg, I was really able to pull all that negative energy that I had been stuffing in my body that was literally killing me. I was able to pull it out, and I was able to reorient my love. Swedenborg has a thing called, an idea called one's ruling love. And that's the love that rules your life. And before, my ruling love had a lot to do with being obsessed with how things were not going to work out. That was my ruling love, because that's the love that ruled me. That's what I gave most of my attention to. And through Swedenborg's ideas, I claimed a much more liberating ruling love. I don't have love. I am love. And Swedenborg puts out some other notions that I found fascinating and just extremely liberating. You know that saying, Rebecca, the truth shall set you free?
Yes.
I find that we have that saying because it's true. And you know when you've given your attention to something that is true because it set you free. And if you're giving your attention to something and it's not setting you free, it's nature's way of saying you haven't seen the truth of it. Keep looking. And this is the truth that I found that Swedenborg shares, and I found that it does set me free. So I have conclusive proof in my own life it is true. And this is what he says. He says, follow this with me now. You don't have love. You are it. You do not have God consciousness. You are God consciousness. He said, now keep following this with me. How can God create a learning experience of itself it did not need? Remember that by you again. How can God create a learning experience of itself it did not need? Now, there's a lot of things that God can do. There's a lot of things that love can do. But create a learning experience of itself it did not need is not one of them. He says nobody on this planet can create a learning experience do not need. That means only what you need, when you need it, is going to show up in your human experience to move you along to realizing the ultimate, that you don't have love, you are love unconditionally. And he says that means that you can show up for your life fearlessly. You can stop whatting it, what if, might if, should if, could if, or what I say, you can stop shooting all over yourself. Because the bottom line is, only what you need, when you need it, ultimately for your spiritual growth, is ever allowed to touch your nervous system, show up on your radar. If you don't need it to reach enlightenment, if it has no ultimate serving purpose in moving you along to reach enlightenment, it'll never show up in your life and it'll never happen to you. So you can really start showing up fearlessly and recognizing everything that's showing up is showing up for one reason. And this is the reason. It's working for you. The whole reason that the physical world was created was for the benefit of you realizing that you are what you love, love whatever you give your attention to, because here in the physical world, we have to feel the reality of that in a way that keeps us real, keeps us honest, and is inescapable. So this world was created to accelerate our spiritual growth. Swedenborg is very clear that there's an accelerant of spiritual growth that happens here that doesn't happen anywhere else. And that's why this world was created. That's where it serves us. That is our benefit. And we can claim that. And we can let go of our stories about, you know, God, once again, this meaningless piece of suffering made its way to my doorstep and into my life and into my bed and into my, you know, intimate experience of life. We can let go of that for the crap that it is. Because love is very efficient. Love does not send you something you do not need. And when you understand that everything is working for you, you can show up. And instead of saying, why me, you can start asking more spiritually relevant questions like, what's in it for my evolution? Is this making sense, girlfriend?
Oh, absolutely. There's a couple points that I want to go back over because I really want people to feel what you're saying. First of all, is I love the idea, and here we are, the word love. That's exactly what I was going to talk about. Many people say, well, it's better to love and lost than to never have loved at all, or I lost the great love of my life. You know, all those cliches that we've heard for eons of time. And I really want people to reframe that in their life, because there's a lot of people out there that are going through personal issues with spouses, mates, what have you. And they have to really feel what you're saying here. They have to feel what's being said, what's being transmitted to them right now. They have to resonate with that. So I really want to make that point, Washali, because that seems to be a huge factor in people's lives. They define themselves. They define their own sense of worth by their mate or partner and whether or not, or in the case you talked about the job as well, to not define themselves whether they have love or don't have love based on whether or not your boss wants you to come back to work tomorrow or your mate or partner doesn't want to be with you tomorrow or today. So I think that it's hugely valuable information for people who are going through different points of their life right now, because our world is ever changing. It's ever changing. And as I was sitting there listening to everything that you said, the one thing that I do know is that this planet, based on, you know, my own personal outlook, I guess, in life, this planet is so special and so unique, and so is every individual here. There's no other place that's duplicated. In all of the multiverses, in all other galaxies, whatever you want to call it, that we're not even aware of yet, scientifically speaking, And I really think that people really need to wrap their mind around this whole concept here. I mean, this is very profound for people. And
I found it just...
It's stunning.
It's nothing
stunning.
Shy of an absolute revolution. This is revolutionary. It creates such an inner revolution when you know that this planet was created for your liberation. So there's nothing that you can't grow beyond. There's no pain. There's no suffering that you are not senior to. That allows people to stop willing themselves off the planet. That allows people to stop saying, I don't ever want to come back here. It allows people to start really embracing the evolutionary gift the planet was created for. And I'm so glad you brought up the point that you did earlier about part of what Swedenborg is trying to say here is that so much of our neuroses and psychoses and fear and insecurities is based on the fact that we are identifying, we are making our spiritual identity vulnerable and dependent on the movement of the temporal world. And it's not. And one of the side effects of God not knowing that it is God consciousness, of love not knowing that it is love unconditionally, is that when it doesn't know that it is love, that it is value, power, and worth in God consciousness, when that goes out the window, fear, neuroses, securities, paranoias come in the mind. And the way that you push it out is by bringing in the light and the truth of who and what you are, because that state of limitation can't coexist in a space of divine light. And that's why the earth was created, because as long as you're still worrying, as long as you're still seeing that your value and power and worth and oneness with divine love is going up and down with the gyrations of the temporal world, it keeps you honest that you have not claimed your spiritual divinity. You have not seen the truth of who and what you are. Suffering is a great wake-up call. When I was diagnosed terminal twice. I told you about the first time in my 20s and then in my late 30s from a car accident. And I've been cheated on by just about every single major partner. Went through a horrible divorce, which I call the American rite of passage. It seems like everybody goes through that. And when people ask me, you know, why do you think that your life had so much suffering? I tell them, you know, I didn't realize when I was going through all this that I agreed to come to the earth to be an unconditional love teacher. That kind of unfolded. It wasn't anything that was stamped on my birth certificate when I was born. But looking back on it now, I can see that all of these things were blessed opportunities for me to claim my divinity. For me to claim, I don't have love, I am love. And no one and no thing on this planet has the power to change that. Go ahead, throw your best at me. You are not going to shake me from the reality that I am what I love, and I love whatever I give my attention to, and I love the truth. And the more the earth throws, the more the earth schoolroom throws these challenges at you, the more you have an opportunity to infuse it in a way that is an unconditional alignment with your spiritual identity. That's what we get here, is unconditionally knowing we are divine love. That is our story. We're sticking to it.
Well, you go, girlfriend, because it is absolute truth. It is absolute truth. And you know what I find amazing is people such as yourself, who are hair bringers of this most magnanimous information, that many of them, and me included in that, you know, I kind of put myself in that same thing. There was all this suffering beforehand. The pain, you know, my childhood reads like a bad horror novel.
Yeah.
You know, and I say that because I have no attachment to it anymore. There's no attachment. It's like looking at a movie, a silent movie. I go back and look at it. There's no emotions attached to it because through that was the recognition that I am more than just that experience. And that experience is what brought me to accept what I knew from God, the Creator, that I am not separate.
And it is therefore priceless, serving, and working for you.
Absolutely. And with that, we have got to take a short break. You guys do not go away. We're going to be right back with more of Washali. You are what you love. You love whatever you're giving your attention to. Do not go away.
Universal Learning Series, a set of principles for discovering your true self. Explore your past, your present, and your future. Read Your Never-Ending Life, Book 1 of the Universal Learning Series by author Sandy Andrew. Go to universallearningseries.com.
Journeys with Rebecca is sponsored by Fate Magazine, providing true accounts of the strange and unknown for over 58 years. To receive your free copy of Fate Magazine, call 800-728-2730 or log on to fatemag.com.
Email Rebecca with your comments to mailbag@journeyswithrebecca.com. You're listening to Journeys with Rebecca.
You are what you love. You love whatever you're giving your attention to. And I said this early on in the show that you and I are truly kindred spirits, and we are. We both have a mission, if you will, and the mission come from a self mission first, and we are just, you and I both are just trying to share that, I guess, knowledge with others. But respectively so, everyone still needs to find their own path. They need to find whatever that trigger is. That's kind of my word for this year is trigger. It seems to be that word seems to fit very well with the events, with the people, with the information that's being shared at this time on the earth plane. There are triggers out there. My show, your show, they're trigger mechanisms for people, for those who care to listen. And so I'm going to kind of let you give your last thoughts and process here. We're also going to make sure that people know where to get their book, your book, how to listen to you on your radio show, that kind of thing, because this is just too good of stuff. This is what we're here for. We're here to be with each other, help each other, love ourselves, and be aware that we're not separate from each other.
And, you know, I find, Rebecca, I'm sure you do too, there are some things that people just can't hear enough. They can't hear it with enough frequency. They can't hear it with enough continuous exposure. They can't hear it with enough sincerity. They can't hear it with enough constant reinforcement in their life. And that's that they do not have love on it. And they're senior to any challenge that shows up here. And there is no level of suffering that they cannot grow beyond, because that is why love is the most powerful force in the universe. And that's why I wrote the book, is to help people understand and relate to consciousness itself, help them understand how consciousness works and how it operates, and human consciousness versus spiritual identity consciousness, because there's absolutely a difference. And when you understand what form of consciousness you need to use for solving what problems, that you can tell what form of consciousness is communicating with you, it makes your life so much easier. And there's nobody on the planet that is going to reach any level of spiritual maturity if they don't understand the difference between love is talking to them and when their ego is talking to them. So I break this down in the book in a way that I think is simple and direct to understand. And when I wrote the book, I wanted to write a book for people who had never heard anything about spirituality or Emanuel Swedenborg or consciousness, didn't know anything about it, for them to pick it up and go, oh my God, now I understand what everybody's talking about. And I wanted to write a book that even if you were the advanced student, you would pick it up and you would say, I'm having an epiphany left and right. As you know, Rebecca, I like to refer to spiritual growth in porno language. So I wrote the book for advanced students to go harder, deeper, faster. So it doesn't matter where you are on the road to enlightenment. If you feel that you're a neophyte and this is information you never heard before, the book is for you. If you're an advanced student and you've done a lot of personal growth, the book is for you. It doesn't matter. I wrote it so that it will be serving to everybody. And I got a lot of stories in the book because I think people learn from stories. And then the radio show, I have two radio shows, one on World Talk Radio and the other one on Contact Talk Radio. The one on Contact Talk Radio has been around a little longer, so I've got more archive shows on that. And if you want to know more about my radio shows, you can go to my website, which is purple, because as you know, I only wear the color purple. I got a thing for that color. And if you go to Purple V, V is in Vivacious, V is in Berry, PurpleV.com. My name also starts with a V. I know it sounds like a W, but it starts with a V. PurpleV.com. And you click on Washali in Action. It'll bring up a calendar that'll tell you about my shows. You can email me at v@purplev.com. If you want to be a member, you'll get a once-a-week email that'll tell you who my guests are and if we're giving away books and things of this nature. So it's easy for you to find the Internet radio show and find if there's a guest that's speaking to you. Because what you and I do, Rebecca, is we understand the spiritual law. You are what you love, and you love whatever you give your attention to. So if you're our listening audience, and you're going to bless us with your attention, we are going to bring somebody who is going to rock your world, accelerate your growth, because if you're going to bless us with your attention, we are going to respect and honor this bless-love agreement for what it is. And so if you are interested in the radio show, click on Washali in Action on the website, purplev.com. The way the schedule works is it comes up and it scrolls down for a little bit, and then there are left and right arrows at the bottom of the screen that take you forward and backward in the calendar. I also have Washali TV, VTV. You can click on it. You can see the Wild Woman in Action. You can see me in my purple Wild Woman wear with my tiara, and because I advertise myself as a Beyond Karma queen, and when you read my book, you can be one too. You can go to the website and see the Beyond Karma queen in action and see her in all her purple saving glory. And I do a lot of teaching. I travel a lot in Philadelphia and Connecticut in the remaining of October, and I also give individual sessions. So for people that feel that they need to know more about their life purpose. I don't read outer world things, only inner world. I can't tell you when you're going to get laid next or where you put your car keys. Got to figure that out like the rest of us. But if you want to know more about your life purpose, if you want to know more about why you're going some lesson, what's the spiritual gift in it for you, I can tell you how is the fastest way for you to accelerate your growth and what you're giving your attention to right now that is not serving to you. That's the nature of those one-on-one sessions. And you can learn more about them by going to my website or emailing me at v@purplev.com.
And again, of course, for everyone that's listening, you can go right directly to my website, journeyswithrebecca.com. There's a hot link right there on the front page. Click on it. It will take you directly to her website so that you can get in contact with this most magnanimous, most kindred spirit of mine, Washali. And I want to thank you so much for being on the show today. You and I, we're going to continue our conversations, I'm sure, in the future. And for those of you who are listening, stay with us because we're going to be right back. We have a little bit more of Journeys with Rebecca. And a big, huge thanks to the sponsors of Journeys with Rebecca. That's Faith Magazine, www.faithmag.com. PerfectlyOrganic.net and UniversalLearningSeries.com, and of course all the affiliates that you will find, their banner links throughout the website. You can support Journeys with Rebecca by supporting our sponsors and our affiliates. Now, under the Journeys News section, you're going to find all the latest events. October 30th, I will be at the Learning Annex on the Paranormal 411 panel. So click on the link for more information. And, of course, if you can join me there along with the other members of this Q&A panel, that would be awesome. Some upcoming guests. A man that really needs no introduction, David Icke, will be here. Brad Steiger's latest book, Shadow World. So, again, check out the website for dates and times for all the great guests heard right here on Journeys with Rebecca. You know, each week I do two new shows, so be sure to check out the live show on Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m., and join me this Saturday. My guest will be Jack Taylor, Prophetic Dreams. Do you have a question? Write to me at mailbag@journeyswithrebecca.com, and I will try to answer those email questions or address your comments right on the show. All right. Until we meet again, where will your life's journey lead you? Many blessings, and good night.